Parshat Vayetze is the typical Jewish story. As long as we're poor, we're victims. As long as we're being taken advantage of, the world likes us. But as soon as we start to have success, suddenly the world doesn't like us anymore. And that's been the case ever since when? In chapter 30, the fourth reading of Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov, our father Jacob, after being taken advantage of for 14 years, says to his father-in-law, Laban, who's like the original anti-Semite, he says to him, okay, it's time for me to start making a living. Laban says, sure, we can take care of you. And every deal Yaakov makes, Laban reneges on. And he's constantly switching things, and he's duplicitous, and he's dishonest. But Yaakov is always a step ahead. And in the end, Yaakov has extraordinary success. In chapter 30 and verse 43, we read of that success. Vayifrotz ha'ish me'od me'od. The man does very, very well. Vayihi lo tzoyin rabos. He has many, many sheep, large flocks. He has shfachos, he has avodim. He has an enormous amount of human resources, maidservants, servants. And he also has a trucking company and tractors. He has gemalim, he has dromedaries or camels, and he has chamorim, he has donkeys. So firstly, it's telling that the success of Yaakov is described at the word vayifreitz, because this was exactly what God promised Yaakov. He said ufaratzta. That's the one word that encapsulated the fortunes and the success of Yaakov. And if you may remember, the idea of ufaratzta, which we learned at the beginning of the parasha, the first reading, is what Rashi called v'chazakta, that you're going to push forward the tremendous force. Or as Rashi puts it later on, he says it's a bracha perutza, it's a bracha, a breakout bracha, which is b'limitzarim, it's limitless. It pushes the limits, it breaks the limits. In the modern day and age, it's what they call breaking the glass shield, the glass ceiling. So Yaakov does not only well, not only very well, he has explosive growth. He pushes the envelope. He breaks out of any kind of box or barrier or limitation. It was far beyond anybody ever could have imagined. And it's not only vayifreitz, but it's ma'oid ma'oid. Very, very much so. The Midrashim tell us that Yaakov experienced a success which was off the charts, totally beyond rhyme and reason or nature. So what was the success? What was it? So Radak says he was very wealthy. Very wealthy. And he had this huge amount of residuals. What's happened or came because of the way he did business and how he rode, he so to speak, developed those flocks. What's ma'oid ma'oid? Very, very. So the Medrash Seichel Tov says ma'oid, more than his father. Ma'od ma'od, the second ma'od, is more than Lavan. So he came from a wealthy father, but he did very well on his own. His father-in-law was wealthy, but he exceeded him too. So Yaakov exceeds expectations, has amazing success, and what do you think the reaction is going to be? Yeah, they're not happy for him. They're not happy at all. And it's interesting that the non-Torah sources decided to make this a new chapter, as if it has nothing to do with one another. This is a non-Jewish source has made it a new chapter. But we know this is a continuation. Vayishma is Divrei Lavan. He heard the words of Divrei Bnei Lavan, the children of Lavan, the original anti-Semites. What were they saying? Leimer, they were saying, the Jew took all of our stuff. He took all of our wealth. The Jew took everything that was ours. All this belonged to our father. And from that which belonged to our father, that's where all this wealth, that's where all Yaakov's heavy success came from. Nothing has changed. This is textbook. When we're victims, when we're persecuted, then the world has compassion. Sometimes, when we do well and we're successful, the Jews took our money. Let's take a look in Rashi and see how Rashi interprets this idea of tzoin rabos, many sheep. So Rashi says, if he had many sheep, what should it have said? Tzayin is singular. It doesn't say tzena or tzaynim. It says tzayin. So if it says singular, then it should have said tzayin rav. The proper grammar is tzayin for singular is tzayin rav, many sheep. So why does it say rabbis? So Rashi says rabbis is like a permutation of the word ravois. And ravois means to increase. He had prolific flocks, increasing flocks. Porois v'rabbis, these were flocks which were ever increasing. In other words, they were more prolific. Yoser mesha'or tzoin. Not only did he have large flocks, he had growing flocks. Flocks that grew at a different pace. Flocks that were more prolific than other flocks, because Yaakov had developed the super sheep through his genetic engineering. In fact, there's a professor in Israel who wrote a whole paper showing that Gregor Mendel's early experiments that proved the idea of genetic engineering are actually patterned after Yaakov Avinu's story with the sheep. There's a whole thing to prove it. A fascinating paper on this. So at any rate, he does not only have many sheep, he has prolific sheep. And that's why it says Tzayin Rabbis. Now one second. We know that Yaakov is a shepherd. We know he deals sheep. And yet, the Torah says he has lots of sheep, prolific sheep, but then the Torah also speaks of Shvachis and Avadim. It speaks about Gemalim and Chamoirim. He has enormous amount of human resources. And he also has... he has transportation. He has farm animals, tractors. He's got the dromedaries, he's got the camel, the donkeys. So Rashi says, where did he get that from? And why is that the continuation? Why is that the sum total of Yaakov being successful with the sheep? And we say, yeah, he has sheep. Lots of sheep. Prolific sheep. Oh, and then he has lots of people working with him. And he has camels too. And donkeys. Where'd they come from? So Rashi says, Moicher tzoinoi, he didn't maintain or retain all the sheep for himself. He sold these sheep, but they fetched a high price because people knew that not only were these, Yaakov have lots of sheep, he had sturdy sheep. He had prolific sheep. If you want to increase your flocks, you got some of Yaakov's sheep in your flock. So Yaakov's sheep were now considered to have this propition that would bring about good business development. Everybody wanted a piece of Yaakov's flock. And so he sold them at a very high price. And then he reinvested the funding and he bought Kol Ela. He bought all of these. And the response was, they said, Yaakov is Osa. What do you mean Osa? He made. If Yaakov made it, then you're acknowledging Yaakov made the wealth. So Rashi says, no. They didn't say Osa. When it says Osa made, it really means Konas, which means he gathered. It was our father's. He gathered it from our father. He took his flocks. He took what belonged to our father. That's how he built himself flocks, which is actually denying the fact, because if they were more prolific than Lavan's flocks, Yaakov must have done something right. But instead of acknowledging that the Jew actually did something right and that the success came from his hard work and God's blessing, instead they said, the Jew is successful. You know why? He stole our money. It's actually remarkable how nothing has changed. And where do we see that making can mean collecting? Says Rashi, Kemoi, for example, Vayas Chayil Vayach Esamalik. It says in the book of Shmuel, he formed an army and he smote Amalek. Now, you don't create the soldiers. You can muster the soldiers. So even though the soldiers were there and they had to have been trained, somebody had to hammer them together. Somebody had to galvanize the troops. And that's what happened. And it's called to galvanize troops, to muster. The army was called Vayas. So we see that it is not impossible to conceive that the terminology of making was giving Yaakov no credit. In fact, much or quite to the contrary, that he gathered everything from us. And then Yaakov began to see. What did he see? First it says he heard, Vayishma. Verse 1 is he heard. And then it says Vayar, then he saw. Vayar Yaakov saw as Pnei Lavan. He saw the face of Lavan. It's not the same face he saw yesterday. When Yaakov was abused, when Yaakov was taken advantage of, When Yaakov was working for free, Lavan was very benevolent. He had a nice face. And now Yaakov's Lavan's children are saying, oh, Yaakov took all our father's money. He said, Dad, this Jew took everything that's ours. BDS him. You got to crush him. And then Yaakov saw it wasn't just Lavan's children talking. Lavan's face didn't look the same. His face had changed. It's a different kind of complexion. The Tzered Hamor says, why does it follow, verse 1 followed by verse 2, where the verb in verse 1 is Vayishma, he listened. In verse 2, the verb is Vayar, and he saw. So the Tzered Hamor says, to the kids, Yaakov didn't pay attention. He said, ah, it's just kids. It's no, they're speaking, it's not, I'm not going to react to that. But all of a sudden, it wasn't just the kids. All of a sudden, it wasn't just the fringe of society. Once people start talking this way, the infection went straight to the top. And he began to see that Lavan's face was not the same anymore. And when he saw that Lavan's face changed, when he saw that this kind of anti-Semitism has infected high government, they now all of a sudden Yaakov started to get concerned. Radak says, what does it mean? Behine eineno imo. He's not with him. He's not with him the same way. Eineno imo k'dmo shulshem. So he says, it means Lavan. It means Lavan. Lavan. Lavan, you could see on his face. This is what the professionals of communication call leakage. Lavan was leaking all over the place. His body language was basically conveying to Yaakov, I don't like you anymore. I think you stole all my money. I think I have to find a way to get my wealth back from the Jew who stole it, who took what isn't his. And when Yaakov sees this, Yaakov decides, okay, it's time to split. And he begins to plan his return to the Holy Land. Let's talk about Yaakov's flocks. Let's talk about this business of Yaakov having sheep, not just any sheep. It wasn't just quantity, it was quality, it was prolific sheep. And then the pasuk interjects, the verse interjects his business with human resources and transportation. We hear about tractors. What's up with that? So let's take a look on page Ayin Tas. The premise of what we are going to learn this morning is this notion of Maise Avos Simul Labanim. If it happened to the fathers, it's a lesson for the children. That's the premise. The premise is it's not just a story about flocks, because then who cares? So what? So 37 centuries ago, an ancestor of ours was dealing sheep. Today we deal high tech. Who cares? No. If it talks about Yaakov, and if there's details that are being shared about Yaakov's life, it's necessarily going to be a lesson for us. We are not learning about sheep of antiquity. That's clear. That has to be the initial point of departure. So based on this, the Rebbe says, let's look at this business with the sheep. Yaakov worked for Lavan for 21 years. We know lots about sheep. The whole fourth reading is almost entirely filled with business of the sheep. The sheep, the color of the sheep, the speckled, the spotted, the ringed, the belted. We hear all these details about sheep. And then the sum total, when the Torah kind of gives us the conclusion, the tally, it's not about sheep. It's sheep, but it's servants, it's oxen, it's camels. What's going on here? Well, what we hear all about sheep, and then the sheep suddenly shift into other residuals. So the Rebbe says, let's talk about sheep. The nature of sheep. That's where Yaakov began his career, if you will. He began his career as a shepherd. That's where his business begins. So the nature of sheep is what? When you think of sheep, what do you think of? Yeah, what do you think of? Don't tell me going to sleep.
Wool? Like,
you think of wool?
I don't think about sheep very often.
Okay.
Kind of questions.
I didn't ask how often you think about sheep. I said when you think about sheep.
They follow each other.
They're followers. What else do we know about sheep? They're followers and?
Dumb.
They're docile. They're docile. They're very affable. Do you ever hear the expression sheep to the slaughter?
Yeah.
Nobody said bulls to the slaughter. The bulls will slaughter you. The sheep simply humbly submit. They're submissive. So sheep are hein beteles beratzen hamanhigam. They are submissive to the shepherd. That's why we use the terminology of a good leader who's able to shepherd the flock. We're not referring to the cowboys who are lassoing the wild cows, the bulls. We're talking about the sheep. It's like a different paradigm. You know, in Texas, 10-gallon hats, the lasso, the whole, I won't say violent, but it's intense. The sheep, you think of this quiet person sitting on a lonely mountain, you know, King David on his harp, and he's got sheep going. That's the nature of sheep. The shepherd doesn't have to fight with the sheep. Whatever he leads them, he guides them, they get shepherded. When people get shepherded, it is indicative of submissiveness. Right? They're getting shepherded along. Sheep are the kind of animals who don't change. There's no surprises with sheep. It's not your wild bull. The nature of sheep is that they're weak. Sheep are sheepish, you know. By the way, all this, what we just said, all the verbiage the Rebbe said here, it's all selected from the Alter Rebbe's Maimer in Lekut HaTorah and Parshas Emor that speaks about why the Jewish people are metaphorized as flocks. Because towards Hashem, we're submissive, we're affable, we're easygoing, we follow. God leads us. That's what all those terminology was lifted from there. And kach tzricha lias hascholos avedasos shel Yehudi. That's what Yiddishkeit begins with. Miteches batlas mochletes klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Out of absolute subservience towards the Creator. But it can't remain there. Kishem sheYaakov mochar chelik mitzenei. Just like Yaakov sold some of those sheep. And what did he purchase instead? What did he get instead in lieu of the sheep? What did he take in? He took in dvarim nesafim. He brought other things in. Kach tzarech Yehudi lirchesh tchunas nesafis. You can't only be sheepish. Sometimes you have to be bullish. Sometimes you need to find other characteristics and incorporate them into your playbook. B'neisif l'tchunas eis batlos, besides being so submissive and sheepish, besides the shiflush, the humility which is demanded of us before Hashem, there also needs to be sometimes a little bit of insolence, some guts. You got to have chutzpah, Yiddish chutzpah a little bit. You have to have pride. You have to have gumption. You have to have courage. You have to have strength. Don't be so submissive always. And that's, as we say in the Code of Jewish Law, based on the words of our sages, Shaloi lehizbayesh mipnei bnei adam hamaligim. That you shouldn't be fazed by people who mock you. There will always be people who mock Jewish observance. And we shouldn't be fazed by it. Lehizgaber al Yitzroi. We should have the inner strength to overpower our evil inclination. Kegiber hamizgaber al Seinoi. Like a wrestler who throws his opponent to the ground. Lenatzchei. To be victorious over him. La pili laretz. The thing is this though. Don't become Hulk Hogan. Remain a humble Hillel. Because hasagas hatchunas anisafis, bringing or incorporating these other, shall we call them, characteristics into your playbook are only toich amida b'mispar tnaim. Has to kind of jibe with a number of conditions. It's a conditional thing. It has to work. So yes, we need to have gumption. We need to have courage. We need to have strength. We need to be unyielding, but only in a certain way. It's not that we change as a people. It's not that we went from being a submissive people, now we went to being an aggressive people. We remain the sheepish people before Hashem. However, conditionally, we're able to assume another persona too. And the Rebbe says there are two conditions here. Number one, Yain keiv kona sarachush ha-neisev b'kesef shemacha b'esatzein. How did Jacob get camels? You ever ride a camel in Israel? Yeah? It's like a crazy animal. Okay. This huge neck, rawr, throws his neck. It's like a scary thing. He's not a sheep, let's put it that way. Right? He's an like, aggressive animal. It spits at you. It's a scary thing. So Yaakov bought these camels. You ever try to reason with a donkey? Stiff-necked, you know, like the obstinate creature. So how did Yaakov get these creatures? He got them because he sold the sheep, which is the sheep is what? Is a symbol of?
Humility.
Humility, submissiveness. Sheep to the slaughter, chas v'shalom, that's not a good thing. But sheep to follow the shepherd. So Yaakov took Semel, which is the embodiment, the sheep that are emblematic of bittul, of absolute submissiveness, of absolute humility. And that's what he, it's where he got the other characteristics from. Kiloymer, in other words, tchunes hatekef, the characteristic of inner strength. That prideful, unyielding, powerful Jew, it comes from the azos and the gvura, the insolence and the inner strength and courage. What's it based on? That's the question. Is it based on being obnoxious? Or is it based on being submissive to Hashem? Is my pride and my Jewishness based on Jewishness? Or is it just based on I'm a tough guy? We're the mafia, don't mess with us. And the answer is, of course, not the latter. It's based on his batlos muchletas. V'loy chalila, and not heaven forfend, kitchunas atzmois, as if they are independent characteristics, divorced and separated from the origin of what a Yid is supposed to be. In other words, we should be strong. We should be ready to stand down in the face of our enemies. But don't, that's not who we become. We're not supposed to become the people who have the strength and the power and the gumption and don't mess with us because we'll take you down. We are the people of humility and we're submissive before Hashem and we follow the leader and we are God's flock. Don't mess with us though. Because if we have to defend our honor, we will. And we will, absolutely. But there's a very, very important distinction there. With the difference in that's who we are or that's the way we need to behave. This is a behavior we adopt and assume. It is not a defining characteristic. That's one. Number two, Gam Kishi Yankiv Higdilas Rechushi. Even when Father Jacob expands his residuals, and he does so, Ayide Knias, he does so by being an adept business person, by purchasing Shvaches and Avadim, human resources, Gmalim, transportation, Chamoidim, tractors, Adayin Nishir Hatzayin Iker Rechushi. What is the primary residual? He doesn't leave the business of shepherding. It's still his business. He has other businesses, but that's his main business. His main business is where he started. He started with the sheep, he remains with the sheep. My dear friends, this has to be the definition of a Yid. A Yid is not a human being who fights xenophobia and anti-Semitism, a person who fights bias. No, no, no. A Yid is a person who serves Hashem. That's who he is. We will fight our enemies. We will stand tall and strong. But that's not who we are. Who are we? The Yid is the Yid who learns Hashem's Torah, who does Hashem's mitzvahs, who prays with great fervor and passion. That's who we are. So the Shvaches and the Avadim, all those human resources that Yaakov acquired, that was all secondary. And for us also, when we acquire additional characteristics, important characteristics, but those characteristics have to be acquired always as the add-on, not the foundational essence. And always, you always have to have that inner submissiveness towards God. It's not cool when a Jew says, I don't need God. I can establish myself. I can have self-determination. I'm tired of hearing about the exilic Jew who just did what God wanted. We are the new Jew who's going to fight back and grow and become our own people. No, that's no good. And when that happens, there'll be no Jews, chas v'shalom, around. Two or three generations, the whole story is over. We remain with great pride, Yidden who are filled with spiritual devotion to Hashem. That's our primary thing. We're sheepish. However, don't start up with the sheep. Because when the sheep have to, the sheep know how to rise and fight like a lion. And that, my dear friends, is how a story of a flock out of antiquity can and should inform the way we deal with anti-Semitism and hatred today.